Hey, welcome to In the Thick. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela, and it's Friday, and this is ITT Sound Off. Hey.
All right, you guys. So we, all of us, have been witnesses to history. Witnesses to something Dolores Huerta, co-founder of the United Farm Workers, creator of those words, Si Se Puede, has always called people power. We have witnessed the people of Puerto Rico, American citizens, using nonviolent protest to take down the governor. Now, we're going to get to some of the implications, but, you know, Puerto Rico is Julio's turf, and I will not stop saying this, Julio, you and Latino rebels and the women of the Centro de Periodismo Investigativo in Puerto Rico are central to making this happen. So you had said it was not a matter of if, but when, and it did happen, although he's resigned and leaving on August 2nd, which I got to say, a little worrisome. But Julio, have you slept at all?
Yes, I have slept. And it was Wednesday night when Ricardo Rosselló finally announced that he was resigning as governor of Puerto Rico. I have thoughts, Maria, but let's listen to Rosselló first because I have a lot to share.
A pesar de contar con el mandato del pueblo que democráticamente me eligió, hoy siento que continuar en esta posición representa una dificultad para que el éxito alcanzado perdure. Luego de escuchar el reclamo, hablar con mi familia, pensar en mis hijos y en oración, he tomado la siguiente decisión. Con desprendimiento, hoy les anuncio que estaré renunciando al puesto del gobernador efectivo el viernes 2 de agosto del 2019 a las 5 de la tarde. Estos días estaré atendiendo asuntos pendientes que viabilicen una transición ordenada.
Basically what he said there is, you know, much introspection. I talked to my family. I'm resigning as of August 2nd, 5 o'clock. But what's interesting, Maria, when all this, right, we had talked about this on In the Thick last Friday, there was a massive protest on Monday that shut down this, you know, busy highway in Puerto Rico, anywhere from 500,000 people to a million.
All right. So just so we can get a reality check, what is the population of the island of Puerto Rico?
Right now, it's about 3.2, 3.3. It's about a third of the country just in San Juan, Maria.
A third of the country. Whoa.
Yeah. Like there were other protests in Mayagüez and Ponce and other parts of people who couldn't get to San Juan were protesting that day. And basically, he was supposed to resign on Wednesday morning.
Correct.
And then there was like, I don't know if he changed his mind or whatever, but I was getting, I mean, I was talking to people on the island and they were like, what is going on? But, you know, there were a lot of local Puerto Rican journalists. They were waiting and then they waited for hours, like for 3-4 hours. And all of a sudden they got shuttled outside of the governor's mansion. They were cramped. There were bodyguards. And this spokesperson for the government of Puerto Rico, Tony Maceira, came out and he said, the governor's going to talk later tonight at some point. Thank you very much. People were pissed.
Well, but then there was a point on that night when, if you were watching what was happening on social media, it got really scary.
Yes.
Because then all of a sudden there was like this filing out of heavily armed police in Puerto Rico. And then you started to see the messages of be careful, get out of Old San Juan. And I was like, Dios mío, there's going to be a massacre because American citizens have been killed on the island of Puerto Rico by law enforcement and left to die, you know, whether in protest or Filiberto Ojeda Rios, you know, so the threat of people being killed was very real.
No, it was.
And I think it's important to point out that Puerto Ricans have one of the highest voter turnout rates in the Western Hemisphere, that Puerto Ricans came out and used this form of democracy, that they did it in a way that was nonviolent and that they were able to get this response.
Yeah.
Even though maybe the state was egging on the violence. But it didn't happen. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, it didn't happen. A lot of local activists were telling me, they were texting Natalia Rodriguez Medina, who's our correspondent in San Juan, about this. It's like everyone was going to leave. The scene was tense. I was getting texts from journalism colleagues telling me someone's going to die. Like he is delaying this and someone's going to die. Like, that's how serious it was. People were upset. But anyway, around 11:40 at night that Wednesday, the social media video, which was recorded, comes out. People celebrate. The next day, Thursday, was July 25th, which is a holiday in Puerto Rico. And people came out and they celebrated. And then there's talk about this Secretary of Justice, Wanda Vasquez, who's going to be supposedly the successor. But she's got problems, Maria. There was reports of her for influence peddling.
She's already got a hashtag, #WandaLeaks.
And Wanda Renuncia. Like, they're basically saying, no, no, no.
As extraordinary as a thing it has been to witness what the people of Puerto Rico have done with simple, complicated, intense protest, there's also a part of me that feels deeply sad because the people of Puerto Rico still do not have self-determination. They, yes, en el sentido de que they went to the streets and they made this happen. They did that by using their bodies and their self-determination to take action, but they don't govern themselves.
Right.
Puerto Rico is governed by Washington, D.C., and they don't even have, they have a minor representation, a non-voting representative in Congress. They are a colony of the United States of America. So this is what's frustrating, because if you look at the history of the Puerto Rican people, what they have done, they got the U.S. Navy out of Vieques. They got the Navy to leave an island. The Puerto Rican people have been exemplars of protest and resistance.
I don't want to get too deep into the weeds of Puerto Rican politics, because to be honest with you, I think the bigger issue here, Maria, this is very different. And I think you're right in terms of the colony and the relationship with the United States. But at the same time, there is local governance in Puerto Rico. Although I think, you know, when we talked about it last week on In the Thick, there's a political elite class that has basically perpetuated colonialism. And it's created a colonial mindset in Puerto Rico that, you know what, we can never change. This is the way we are. We're corrupt. Our politicians are mediocre. We're never going to be able to change the system. And, you know, that's become ingrained in generations of Puerto Ricans. I mean, seriously, like, you know, when I would start covering this issue 10 years ago saying, let's put Puerto Rico first, people would be like, ah, mijo, you can't, no way, come on. You know, we're never going to get anything. And to see this evolve into what is going to be a complete reexamination of Puerto Rican society and politics, to me, Maria, I am like just emotionally drained, but in a good way. And I want to just shout out all those young people in Puerto Rico who have been out there on the streets telling other generations that this matters, inspiring other generations like mine and my dad's generation to come out.
Because it was the young people, yo. It was the young people. Fue la juventud, ¿sí o no?
Yes. I talked to young people in the last 2 or 3 weeks who were involved in this movement who told me, you know what, Julio? I started reading you in high school. And you were talking about putting Puerto Rico first. And there's so many other voices, you and others, that have said, we need to start changing. We need to start decolonializing our mentality here.
Cool.
And to see this now, I'm like, it's happening. And I think people need to sit back and watch this and see what evolves. That's why I don't want to get into this sort of like what's next or who's going to take over for the governor. That's not the issue here. The issue is we are rethinking our entire society.
Wow.
We're going to decolonialize ourselves. And that doesn't mean political status. That doesn't mean independence or statehood. That means,
it means decolonializing the mind is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Dude, I love it. So from the horror, something kind of beautiful.
Yes, exactly. Let's move on to our second topic, which was another big story this week, which is former special counsel Robert Mueller finally testifying in Congress. Doo-doo-doo-doo, sound the horns. He was before the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees. You know, I read the entire Mueller report, Maria, when it came out. I think I'm one of the only few people in this country that read the entire Mueller report.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you.
So I didn't watch a lot of this for obvious reasons because I was working my sources in Puerto Rico because the governor was about to resign. But I mean, what are your impressions of what
Well, I have a lot of impressions. I mean, I have so
good.
I think I'm most horrified about the fact that a president who lies and consistently breaks the law, and we know this, we can see it right in front of us, we know that he has broken laws, that if he wasn't in the presidency, he would be charged, more than likely. And I think that kind of became clear. I mean, this is what I wrote, I guess, the day after. It was like when I woke up and I was like, it was the epitome of white male, you know, power, entitlement, supremacy.
Right.
You know, that like, you know, a white guy, a Republican who has a ridiculous amount of power can just get up there and just be like, yes, 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 he lied. And that everybody else is like, okay, he lied. And it's like, okay, next. So that whole thing just really fucks with your head. I'm sorry, because, you know, we begin to feel gaslit.
Yeah.
This is not normal.
Yeah.
And then you just begin to think, and you know, this was happening in my house. My husband, the immigrant from the Dominican Republic, artist, poet, amazing human being, loves Robert Mueller.
What do you mean loves him?
He believes that Robert Mueller is like the straight up, you know, el licenciado, el juez, the man who like knows he's the law.
Wow.
And he's going to make things better and clearer, which I think he has. But then he stops short, which is part of what, and with all due respect to the men in the world and to Robert Mueller too. But there was a part of me that was just like, oye, ¿me sabes qué? Can you grow a pair?
Damn, Maria.
Me dio, ¿sabes qué? A mí me dio en español, you say, pena ajena. I was feeling shame for him. Maybe he wasn't feeling it for himself, but I was like, dude, man, you let people talk to you that way?
Yeah.
Like, you're a badass copper, FBI, no sé qué madres.
Yeah.
At what point do you not stand up and say, excuse me, I'm Robert Mueller. Don't you dare raise your voice at me.
Damn.
You know, something.
Yeah.
But the thing is that we know, it's not a secret, that Robert Mueller is old buddies with William Barr. I am sorry. Yes, thank you, Robert Mueller, but you too are part and parcel of the entire problem.
Yeah. Here's a clip showing an exchange between Mueller and House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff.
Several individuals associated with the Trump campaign were also trying to make money during the campaign and transition. Is that correct?
That is true.
Paul Manafort was trying to make money or achieve debt forgiveness from a Russian oligarch?
Generally, that is accurate.
Michael Flynn was trying to make money from Turkey?
True.
Donald Trump was trying to make millions from a real estate deal in Moscow?
To the extent you're talking about the hotel in Moscow?
Yes.
Yes.
When your investigation looked into these matters, numerous Trump associates lied to your team, the grand jury, and to Congress?
Number of persons that we interviewed in our investigation, it turns out, did lie.
Mike Flynn lied?
He was convicted of lying, yes.
George Papadopoulos was convicted of lying?
True.
Paul Manafort was convicted of lying?
True.
Paul Manafort was, in fact, went so far as to encourage other people to lie?
That is accurate.
Manafort's deputy, Rick Gates, lied?
That is accurate.
Michael Cohen, the president's lawyer, was indicted for lying?
True.
He lied to stay on message with the president?
Allegedly by him.
And when Donald Trump called your investigation a witch hunt, that was also false, was it not?
I'd like to think so, yes.
So my problem, bro, is that then you turn on the television.
Yeah.
And you have other white men.
Yeah.
Our colleagues, many whom I love and adore. And they're like, oh my God, that was so boring. Oh my God, that fell flat. Oh my God, what's the matter with Robert Mueller? I mean, I did say he needed to grow a pair, but I'm not saying that the entire day was a waste of time.
Right.
And these people are now like, it wasn't entertaining television. What's the matter? Did they not prep him? And I'm like, you know what? Shut the fuck up and listen to the fact that it is being confirmed
everything.
That people were breaking the law, committing perjury, that it is happening now.
Right.
But the thing is that it's really important. What he is confirming is really important. And I don't know how all of a sudden it went from what we're seeing to having a conversation about impeachment. I'm just like, and I really worry again about our fellow journalists on TV where it's all about what it looks like. So there's this other thing, Julio, which you know, that while all of the attention was being placed on this,
right.
There were other stories that are not being told. Right down the hallway, there was another hearing going on, and this one got no attention. It's about the biggest story in the United States of America. And this was a hearing about the inhumane conditions that we all know these children are being held in.
The administration has increasingly relied on influx facilities to warehouse children because of crises that it has created. First, it continues to rip children apart from their families, at the border, literally creating unaccompanied children, who must then be placed in the custody of ORR. Over 700 families have reportedly been separated since the June 2018 order prohibited family separation.
And that was in the care of the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which we've talked about in the past, ORR. We actually just did a great In the Thick show about the conditions and also about Health and Human Services, which is HHS, in the facilities like Florida's Homestead Temporary Shelter or Detention Center for Unaccompanied Children. But also, Maria, we saw this video from Now This that was actually part of a live stream that went viral.
I know it's scary. I know it's frightening.
How would you feel if you were in this situation?
I would.
But
I think I would have to decide to slow down and make some good decisions during.
I am trying to make good decisions.
Cover your face, cover your eyes, okay?
And it showed a man with his partner and his two kids in a car while, I believe it was Kansas City police, were negotiating with the man, saying, well, if you don't get out, we're going to break down your window. Because the police, they were cooperating with ICE. ICE was there as well. And then you see the police break the window and drag this man out. And next thing you know, he's arrested and turned over to ICE. He was sent back already to Mexico.
You know, and that's when you're like, you know, if a million people can take to the streets in Puerto Rico to say
exactly
no to corruption, where are the million people who are saying we're not? And But I do wonder. And then there was, of course, this other piece of news, right, which is that your friend, Attorney General William Barr, has ordered the Bureau of Prisons.
He's my friend. He's my friend all of a sudden. My buddy Bill. Like, all of a sudden, he's my friend.
Okay, but listen, in all seriousness, on Thursday of this week, the Justice Department announced that it will restart federal capital punishment for prisoners. Attorney General William Barr also ordered the Bureau of Prisons to schedule the execution of five inmates who are on death row right now. They're all being held in a high-security federal prison in Indiana. Their executions have been scheduled for December and January, and the last federal execution in this country took place 16 years ago. How many people has it been, Julio, who were on death row, who were then found to be innocent in the United States of America?
160 people since 1973, Maria.
Right, who would have been put to death.
Right.
And it's going to happen.
16 years ago was the last time a federal execution took place. And you have all these, obviously, the Democratic presidential candidates, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, have all spoken out against this and against the death penalty and stressing that innocent people of color are usually targeted. We all know that, Maria, right?
We know that.
And this, you know, the announcement came the same week that Joe Biden released his criminal justice reform plan, which includes ending the death penalty. But of course, when it comes to Biden, people tend to forget the he supported the 1994 crime bill that pretty much perpetuated mass incarceration.
Kind of created it.
And now he wants to reserve his legacy now. Nicole, our producer, and myself are actually going to Detroit for the Democratic debates. Little teaser there for the next ITT sound off on Friday. And I'm sure this issue of the death penalty and Biden's records is going to be brought up. So I expect this to be actually a bigger issue just because of my friend William Barr. All of a sudden, he's my friend, made the announcement.
Right. Because the thing is that this is a problem when you've been around. It makes people love you because you've been around and, you know, done OK. It also means that people have never forgotten some of the things that you did. Biden is now kind of saying, I want to help, you know, make sure that we don't have the federal death penalty. I want to make sure that we have, you know, good criminal justice reform. And it's like, bro, you know that you helped to create this, right? You need to say, I helped create this problem. I assume responsibility. It was the wrong thing to do. I'm going to want to fix it now. It's complicated for him to win either way.
Cory Booker said, and I'm quoting in a statement, Joe Biden had more than 40 years to get this right. The proud architect of a failed system is not the right person to fix it. That's why at the debates, I actually think that issue, Maria, is going to come out. It'll be very interesting. I mean, Cory Booker is going, if he said that statement to Biden now, imagine what he's going to say on a debate stage in Detroit.
we also know that Bernie Sanders voted for that same crime bill in 1994. You know, there are connections that are being made by voters who are watching this, Julio, right? And that's the thing that's good about a legacy, but can also haunt you. And that's a wrap for this week's ITT Sound Off. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela.
Uno, dos, tres.
Remember, dear listener, please, pretty please, please, with sugar on top. And, you know, Walter the dog is actually with me in the studio, and he's saying, woof, woof, woof. Go to Apple Podcasts to rate and review us. Woof, woof, woof. It really helps. Also, you can now listen to In the Thick on Pandora, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at In the Thick Show. Like us on Facebook and tell your friends and family to listen. In the Thick is produced by Nicole Rothwell and our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow, Noor Saudi. Our audio engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our digital editor is Luis Luna. And our intern is Noelis Siriaco. The music that you heard is courtesy of Nacional Captain ZZK Records. We will see you on our next episode, dear listener. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. And so does Walter. Woof woof. Bye.
Bye. See you guys. Hey, Walter.
Walter's here, but Walter doesn't talk. He's a woof, quiet. Woof.
He's not hearing you.
Thank you for barking in my ear, Julio.
I was talking to Walter.
No, he's not hearing you because, you know, Walter doesn't have headphones on.
The opinions expressed by the guests and contributors in this podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Futuro Media or its employees.